Right, so you've addressed this particular question before.
Yeah, okay. So the question was asked, what is Ruach HaKodesh? Do people have Ruach HaKodesh today? And if they tell me that so-and-so has Ruach HaKodesh, so do whatever he says, or how am I supposed to understand that? Which is really where what we'll focus on, that last point. Ruach HaKodesh, as the Rambam explains, is a level of prophecy. Ruach HaKodesh, as Rav Yonson Eibshitz explains, is a certain level that a person attains, but it is not directly the word of Hashem. It is a person who has attained a level where his actions in general are in line with Hashem on a certain level. And so, when he has Ruach HaKodesh, and it's not clear to me whether Ruach HaKodesh is like a constant for years, or Ruach HaKodesh also comes in spurts. Nevuah, we know that Nevuah comes in spurts, comes and goes and comes and goes, and sometimes only comes once in a lifetime. Ruach HaKodesh seems to be more of a constant, but how constant it is something which I don't have clarity in. I don't know. We do have the term Sharita Lav Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh settled upon a person, and then he composed a certain work. So it certainly seems like Ruach HaKodesh is something that comes and goes. We say that Mishlei Tehillim, all of Ksuvim, were written with Ruach HaKodesh. But they weren't visions of prophecy where God showed a person like the prophet Yeshayahu or Yechezkel or Habakkuk, where the prophet sees a vision and gives over the vision he saw. That's not Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is that when he composed this, he was on a certain level. He was on a certain level that's a level within prophecy, but it's not the word of God.
Okay. When you say comes and goes, can you say topical?
Okay, to that. What?
Can you refer to it as topical sense?
I don't know what topical means.
Based on topic, like this, in this regard, this person has Ruach HaKodesh in this matter. But the same person does not have Ruach HaKodesh in another matter.
So there are indications like that. For example, we say that when rabbis make decisions that pertain to all of Am Yisrael, so then they dominate that Hashem should be with them in that decision, and we assume that all of Am Yisrael, or the leaders of Am Yisrael, and decisions that pertain to Am Yisrael, they have Ruach HaKodesh. But you have to understand that it's not the way people think, that so Rabbi so-and-so is huge, and therefore he has Ruach HaKodesh. It's not like that. It's we find that Rabbi Akiva was the biggest Kabbalist. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? Mm-hmm. So, Rabbi Akiva is bigger than Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai wrote the Zohar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is big in Kabbalah and the secrets of the Torah. And Rabbi Akiva, it would seem, is bigger than Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And, right? And, no, it's a fair question. And yet, the Rambam paskins that Rabbi Akiva made a mistake in telling everyone that Bar Kochva was the Mashiach. So, are we to say that if Rabbi so-and-so is a huge Kabbalistic rabbi, therefore, whatever he says is right? Is that what it means to say that a person has Ruach HaKodesh? When it comes to halacha, we say, you know, a person's supposed to work based on tradition, and we work based upon certain formulas. And we say that when a person gives a halachic ruling to Am Yisrael, in general, we pray and we hope and we assume that he has a certain divine guidance to get it right. But even there, the Talmud tells us there were Tanoim who gave the death penalty, and they gave the death penalty, one Tana, in error. You know what that means? He gave a halachic ruling, killed a witness, and he was in error. Rabbi Akiva tells everyone, Bar Kochva is the Mashiach, and the Rambam says he was in error. So to say that because someone's a giant and a huge Talmud Chacham and he has Ruach HaKodesh, so whatever he says, it's like God told me. I don't know if there's really basis for that in Halacha. Quite the contrary. The Halacha says we have a mitzvah d'oraisa, a special karban. What happens if the high court gives a ruling and they're in error? So the halacha says there's a special carbon they bring. The Torah says the Kohen Gadol can make an error. Look at that. The Torah says the Kohen Gadol has a special carbon to bring when he makes an error. Kohen Gadol made a mistake. Okay. We have the High Court. We have the Nasi. So you see that the Torah already addresses a situation where the top people in Judaism can make a mistake. We don't assume that because a person is the top person, he's never going to make a mistake. The halacha says, "En la dayan ela mashenav ro'ot." You bring a case before a judge, well then, that judge only sees what you showed him, and his ruling will be in kind. So if you don't give him all the details and he gives ruling, well, he might be in error, and it's not his fault. It's the fault of the one who gave him a limited picture. So I think that today people think, I'm going to come to the rabbi, I'll tell him in two words what my story is, and he's going to get it right because he has Ruach HaKodesh. Well, if Rabbi Akiva, who had probably Ruach HaKodesh, it says in Halacha, he made a mistake. And if Tanoim, who had Ruach HaKodesh, made mistakes, so then why do we assume that someone who's a rabbi today, who is so distant from that level, I mean, take the biggest rabbi today, take Rabbi Eliashiv, multiply him by 50 times, and you have a rabbi from 300 years ago. You have a rabbi from 200 years ago. Multiply him by another 50 times, you have a Rishon. You have a rabbi from 600 years ago. Multiply him by another 50 times, you have a Gaon, you have one of the Gaonim. Multiply them by 10 or 15 times, you have an Amora. Multiply them by another 10 or 15 times, you have a Tana. So you take the giant of our generation, and he's about 5,000 or 50,000 times smaller than a Tana. And yet Tanoim, it says, made mistakes. And we're not talking about a Kohen Gadol, and we're not talking about a guy who had the Shechina rest upon him. Kohen Gadol, Mamish Shechina, right? He sees the Urim Tumim, he tells us, go to war, don't go to war. For sure, we listen to him. There we say the Shechina is there. And yet the Torah says that same Kohen Gadol can make a mistake, and not a small question. And Yisur Kores, he can make a very big mistake in ruling. Torah says it, not me. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. What do you do if you made a mistake in ruling? So where do people get this concept from? I asked the rabbi, and for sure he's right. Yes, we say when it comes to halacha, that's his responsibility, and you have to go with him, assuming he's right. And even there, the halacha says, sometimes he makes a mistake. Does he have to pay for it? Doesn't he have to pay for it? Half of the tractate Sanhedrin focuses on what happens when the rabbi made a mistake. You know? So yeah, we discuss it. When does he have to pay for his mistake? You know, if he ruled this meat is non-kosher and he was wrong, and you threw the meat to the dogs, so the halacha discusses, when does he pay for it, when not? And you know what? There was a big rabbi named Rabbi Tarfon who had a case that came before him, a monetary case, and he ruled, and he was in error. And then the Mishnah quotes the famous line, Rabbi Tarfon, you're talking about a Tana, you know how holy he is, you know, we can't imagine he could bring back people from the dead. And yet he made a mistake. And he said, Halach Hamocha Tarfon, I lost my donkey. He wasn't too worried, he was very wealthy. He wasn't worried about his donkey. But still, the Talmud tells us stories, and the Talmud isn't embarrassed to say, Rabbis made mistakes. And the Torah tells us that the high court could make a mistake and over 50% of the Jewish people will follow them. And that mistake is again on an Isser Kores. They did something that... and you know what's worse? The Torah tells us the high court could give ruling on a matter of idol worship and error. There's a special carbon. What happens if the Beis Din HaGadol, the Beis Din, the high court, gives a ruling on a matter of idol worship and makes a mistake? So what do you want from me? Torah says, high court, on matters of idol worship, on matters of 50% plus of Am Yisrael follows their ruling, and they can make a mistake, and the Torah gives them a special korban to atone for themselves if they made a mistake. But today, for some reason, people have decided, you ask the rabbi, and you ask them a practical question, should I marry her or should I not marry her? And now you got to listen to him. Where'd that come from? It's true, again, when it comes to halacha, when it comes to tradition, there we have the concept of emunat chachamim, which is rampantly misused today. There you have the concept when it comes to halacha and tradition that we say, nope, you're learning from him. He has tradition. Trust him. He knows what he's talking about. Yes, if you ask him a halacha question, he's learned. He has a tradition. He's giving you an answer. There you have the concept of emunat chachamim. But to say that emunat chachamim means I asked him a practical question about life and now I'm supposed to assume he understands everything. People often come to me with monetary matters and they want me to give ruling. So aside from the fact that I'm not qualified to give a ruling on monetary matters, the halacha says two people have to present the case. Yeah, but you're a rabbi, don't you know? What does that mean? The Gemara says you can't come to a court without it. You're not allowed to come to a court without the opponent being there to represent this case. We don't assume anyone has this Ruach HaKodesh, that's it. You ask, he answers, God spoke. When you had a prophet, then you had that concept. Prophet, not a Tana, not an Amora, no, prophet. If a prophet tells you, God told me that you should do this, then you believe him. But if a prophet makes a call on a practical matter, so the Ibn Ezra gives a slew of examples where prophets also made mistakes on practical matters, such as Moshe Rabbeinu, the father of all prophets, when he decided to travel without circumcising his son. It was a practical question. What's right? What's wrong? Do I circumcise and detain the redemption of all of Am Yisrael? Or do I say, hold off on your circumcision, son. I'm going to save all of Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu opted for that one, and he was wrong. So he didn't have a tradition on the matter. It was a practical question in his life, and he made a mistake. He should have circumcised, left the kid with his wife back in Midian, left his family behind, and went to save the Jewish people, which is what he had to do then. But he made a mistake. And it doesn't bother us to say Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. Again, with regard to our tradition, that's where we start talking about emunat chachamim. I have faith that the rabbis did not change a word of the Torah. They did not change a word of our tradition. It's a very specific area. But when he gives a ruling about a specific point, to say, that's it, God is with him, he's got it right, no questions asked. I don't see that concept in the Torah. Infallibility. I'm not familiar with it being a Jewish concept.
Okay. That still doesn't define how someone can hold on Ruach HaKodesh and what kind of authority that should give them.
Well,
in other words, if that's just a level of understanding of the world, then technically it's achievable by anyone. A great scientist.
No.
Who's acquired a lot of wisdom and really understands things, or philosopher, or other people who have had a lot of wisdom, a lot of age, a lot of experience in the world from the practical matters.
It's a long answer. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I could tell you in a nutshell, but you won't understand me. So I recommend see the Drashat Ramban. We have in the Ramban speech, Torat Hashem Tmima. I could tell you in one or two sentences, but I don't think you'll understand me. When we speak about understanding the world, we're not talking about understanding the laws of gravity. We're talking about understanding why is there a solar eclipse? Because there was a rape. So you say, wait a second, I can forecast a solar eclipse. Yes, we're talking about an understanding that's of what's behind nature. Not what you can see and forecast. What you can see and forecast is secondary. There's been a system that's been established that goes based on a spiritual world. The physical world is but a representation of spiritual concepts, what we might call metaphysics. So if you analyze why an apple falls, you can analyze the derivatives of the spiritual world. You could analyze the laws that pertain to this world. You could analyze on a certain level, but you're very far from understanding the real reason of why there's gravity in the world. That is a level of wisdom that a person cannot attain on his own. He can sit here and guess from today until tomorrow, and he might get it right once, but he'll get it wrong millions of times, and he probably won't even get it once. It's a level of understanding where a person can look at the world and understand so much more, but he's not understanding it the way the scientist is. The scientist is looking at the stimuli. The scientist is looking at his trial and error. And based upon that, he's formulating a theory, which is all working backwards, right? Whereas a person who understands it from the root, he understands it long before the scientists. If the Chafetz Chaim, I think it's told about it. I don't remember which rabbi. Someone in this century was sitting in his office and a car screeched, and they ran up and they told him that the neighbor's daughter was hit by the car. And he said, no, it didn't happen. And they asked him, how do you know? And he said, because I know the neighbor and I know what... Okay. The Gemara says we brought the story about the one who's who used to dig wells for Am Yisrael, and then his daughter was found that she drowned in a well, and he said she's still alive. And they kept looking, and they said, well, we haven't found her. How could you say that? How do you know she's still alive? Okay, on his level, he could know.
I just don't understand the flow of your answer. You first described the question from prophecy. And not necessarily from prophecy, but gave a description for the Kodesh. And then went on to express that there's anyone can make a mistake.
Right. So the fact that a person is on the level of Ruach HaKodesh doesn't mean that it affects everything he does. That doesn't mean that every sentence he says is right.
Right.
A person can be on the level of Ruach HaKodesh like David HaMelech. He wrote Ksuvim. He was a Navi. And he made mistakes. Shlomo HaMelech wrote Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir Shirim. And he made huge mistakes. It's a machlokes in the Gemara whether he ever fixed his mistakes. According to one opinion in the Gemara, Shlomo HaMelech died a pauper. No one knew who he was. Where is he buried? How did Shlomo HaMelech die? Do we know or don't we know? Machlokes in the Gemara. Maybe he ended his life as a pauper somewhere out. Who knows where? Machlokes. He made mistakes. He paid for his mistakes. So he had Ruach HaKodesh. He wrote Shir Hashirim. He wrote Mishlei. Those works are cherished. Because that was sentences that he said with Ruach HaKodesh. He said 3,000 other Mishalim that we don't keep. They're smart, they're good, we don't have them. It's not Ruach HaKodesh. There's a very fine distinction between what's said with Ruach HaKodesh and what not. And even people who have Ruach HaKodesh, that doesn't mean every sentence they say is with Ruach HaKodesh.
So, but perhaps, I don't know, side question leading from that, that perhaps a person, let's say, who's written a work is some kind of dichotomy between within a person, let's say, a great person that made mistakes, sin, and we know of them, and he's been a prolific writer, and so perhaps we can distinguish between his works, if we see them as, and his actions.
Any work that made it into Nevi'im and Ksuvim was analyzed by the rabbis sometimes for centuries, and they decided this is Ruach HaKodesh. Otherwise it's not there. Right. Now does that mean everything he did was right? For sure not. We don't have a figure in Tanakh who we say was perfect.
But in our day and age,
no one.
I
don't remember everyone in Tanakh, but I'm quoting the Rambam. So he knew Tanakh.
So it's possible to say that today we'd be able to make such a distinction?
Between a person's works and what how he lives? For sure we make that distinction. We say a rabbi wrote a work, we learn from his work. But a rabbi does an action, we don't necessarily learn from his action. Shulchan Aruch says, in our day and age, we don't have the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch say, we don't have rabbis who are on that level that they're so careful that everything they do can't be misinterpreted. That everything they do, if you see them do it, if they allowed you to see them do it, then for sure you could learn from it, then for sure it's right. No, we don't have rabbis on that level. We don't have rabbis who can be so careful that that anything they do can't be misinterpreted. We're not on that level.
A rabbi that does something that's blatantly wrong, according to you, if that is hypothetical.
It can happen. Shlomo did things that were blatantly wrong.
So we'll be able to distinguish that and learn from his...
From his mistake?
From his sparring.
For sure.
With the same attitude.
Why not? I don't understand. We learn from Moshe's Sfarim, and Moshe Rabbeinu did certain mistakes. We learn from Shlomo's Sfarim, and Shlomo did certain mistakes. You need a rabbi to tell you, or a group of rabbis to tell you, which Sfarim you should learn from and which not. But to say because a person made a mistake, therefore you don't learn from his Sfarim, everyone in history made mistakes.
Talking about mistakes, let's say somebody who you know has sinned or repeatedly sinned.
Everyone in history has sinned.
Okay.
Shlomo HaMelech remained married to Pharaoh's daughter. Seems to be a repetitious sin. Shlomo HaMelech did certain things.
Wasn't there like a Tana who became an epicurus and then afterwards they kind of kicked them out and then they never pushed one of them?
Elisha ben Avuya.
Didn't we like kind of...
We call him Acher?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then we said after that happened, we just forgot his whole Torah, whatever he thought.
Isn't there Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? I think the fifth chapter or fourth chapter, it says Elisha ben Avuya Omer.
Then maybe it wasn't him. Was it?
No, it was him.
Wasn't there maybe a Rabbi Elazar or Meir or something?
Yeah, Rabbi of Rabbi Meir. Huh? Rabbi Meir's Rabbi, and yet he is quoted.
So I thought
it's a good proof.
No, I thought you said that he was. I thought that's what you said, though. First, the teaching, that after he became like a first, it kind of just like. He was kicked out of the camp and everything he said was ousted.
I don't think I said that. I may have said slightly different, but I don't think I said that. I don't think so. I don't know.
So the conclusion from this is that we shouldn't judge the works because of the personalities, but we judge the works by the works themselves.
No, the conclusion of this is that it took rabbis, and sometimes it took the rabbis centuries to decide whether works were valid or invalid, and ask your rabbi whether you should read a work or not. No, I don't think that you and I could sit here and decide whether so-and-so's work should be read or not. You know, you read a work of Rashi, you know Rashi was okay, right? You read a work of Rambam, you know Rambam was okay. You open up a history book and you read a man named Shaddal, and you're not so sure. Is he okay or is he not okay? Ask your rabbi. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him. I'm just saying he's a figure in Jewish history who you might not know a lot about. You read a book that says Rabbi Mendelssohn, and you ask yourself, wait a second, is that Mendelssohn the Apikoros? Not the Apikoros. Should I read his work? Should I not? You see a work by a man named Kasuto, and you ask yourself, wait a second, is he acceptable? Is he not? Is he in tradition? Is he not in tradition? Ask your rabbis. I'm not saying I'll have an answer for you. Ask someone bigger than me. Okay. If she's your rabbi, I guess. But you have to remember also, Chazal say Rabbi Meir knew what to take from Acher. Rabbi Meir was big enough that he could learn Elisha ben Avuya's teachings and not be led astray. All the other rabbis held they were not big enough. So the fact that you see a rabbi maybe reading a work doesn't mean it's necessarily a good idea for you. I would ask.
Individual.